Okay, good morning. Well, I feel like it's been so long since I've taught. My goodness. Has been, that's right. Let's open the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're in a very important study here that I didn't realize until I got back to it and did a little more looking into it, the importance of things we're going to be looking at in 1 Corinthians 7. But let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting His Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love the Word of God, the things that we learn, encouragement, the hope, and Heavenly Father, the direction for our daily lives, dealing with one another, as well as prophecy and history, creation, so many things, Father. And now, Father, we pray Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see in this great chapter dealing with marriage. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, we're in a section that has two very important words in it. In verse 32, starting in verse 32, which is where we left off. Verse 32, but I want you to be free from concern. Now, that's a powerful statement, especially in a moment when he's going to say you have to be concerned about other things. But he said, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord. I want you to be free from concern, but the one who's unmarried is concerned. So what is Paul doing here in this respect? About the things of the Lord. How he may please the Lord. So here we begin our study of two words. You'll note concern and please. Verse 33, but he who is married is concerned, and this deals with time and things in dealing with the world, about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, it is not, we're going to note this in a moment, but it's not wrong to relate the world, his wife, and these things. This is not sinful or wrong. This is just a matter of fact. We have two important words here in this verse, concern and pleased. The exact same words are used in discussing the husband toward his wife and the wife toward her husband, the believer toward the Lord. Now, why does Paul relate the wife with the world and the husband with the world? This is not wrong. This is not sinful. This is not neglecting what you ought to be doing. It's what you ought to be doing. Marriage is related to this world, people. Marriage is related to this world, physically, sexually, financially, time, priorities. There is no marriage in heaven. Marriage is related to the world. And let's just look very quickly at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Now, Matthew chapter 22, and let's read verse 30. 22, verse 30. And the Lord is speaking, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. Now, I'm not going to exegete the passage and what it means that we're like the angels in heaven and all, but there is no marriage in heaven. It's just amazing how many people, a lot of Christians, try to make a great deal about marriage in the eternal state. there is no marriage in the eternal state. Those are the that is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already been there. He ought to know. So, that being the case, be careful how you not make more out of what he is saying, and certainly not less. But marriage needs to be identified as related to this earth. And so a married person needs to make the most he can or she can out of marriage while here on earth. In my almost 40 years in the ministry, I have a multitude of believers who have, for various reasons, lost their spouse. Death, divorce, prolonged illness, these kinds of things, only to have deep regrets for not caring, care, concern, not being concerned for their spouse, not pleasing them, but pleasing themselves. And then when they lose their spouse, a heavy burden comes on them. I warn you these things, so you might take advantage of that now. Again, this is not a negative correspondence. The world and a wife, the world and a husband. It is simply a matter of fact. He just spoke in verse 31 of making use of things of the world. If you want things to count in heaven for eternity, do not relate them to your relationship in marriage, but to your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we have to make our top priority of concern, and to please the Lord. But if you are married, you are mandated to be concerned, care, and please your spouse. But the priority is to please the Lord. Let's look from this passage. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, Colossians chapter 3 deals with your life right now here on earth. If then you have been raised up with Christ, and actually it's a first class condition, since then you have been raised up with Christ, that's a picture of baptism, resurrection, and Christ as a believer. Keep seeking, while you're alive here on earth, the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. So, first of all, seek in your priorities, in your activity, the things above, things related to eternity. Then in verse 2, set your mind on the things above. We get back to 1 Corinthians 7. I'm going to show you how being concerned about your spouse is a mental activity. Pleasing your spouse is physical, but it's a mental activity. So he emphasizes where the real battle is. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Yet on our passage, he's talking about the world and marriage. So you have to balance these things out. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, should be, and it's unfortunately not for very many Christians, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Okay, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, we have two words that direct our thinking on earth. And right here, we see the heart of what Paul is trying to teach about marriage. Now, in Colossians 3, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind. Seeking physical, set your mind is mental activity on the things above. In the mind, we set up our priorities. But here in 1 Corinthians 7, he says that a married man, a married woman, are to be concerned, because that's a mental activity, about things of the world, and that is who they're married to and pleasing them. So what we have is, this is why he also said earlier, time is short. When you marry, he said two basic things about marriage. One, you're going to have trouble. And two, time is short. What does it mean, time is short? When you're married, you have less time to serve the Lord because you got to serve one another also. So your time is short with both. You've got to make sure you utilize your time correctly in pleasing one another and in pleasing the Lord. Concerned about one another, concerned about the Lord. Had a wonderful Hebrew professor, Dr. Kenneth Barker. He worked on the NASB translation, and just a brilliant man. But more importantly, he was just an unbelievable person. As I sat in his class, I said, you know, I hope be half the man that he is. He's just a wonderful man of great integrity and a sense of humor. But he made a very strong point to the students who were majoring in Hebrew. You're going to spend your time in your office, and you're going to be studying. And if you're married, you're going to spend your time with your wife. Now, gentlemen, when you're with your wife, you do not think about your Hebrew. You do not think about the text. You do not think about what you're working on. You think about her, your children, if you have any. And then when you're in your office studying, you don't think about your wife and your children. You've got to be able to control your mind activity to think wherever you are, what you're doing. Don't minimize when you're with her, your time with her, by thinking of something else, thinking about what you ought to be studying. And when you're studying, you don't think about her or him, but this is a men's class, so it's always about her. So here's the point. If you remain single, you can set your full mind, your full activity on things above. But if you're married, you have to also set your mind on things on earth, your husband, your wife. These are not sinful things. These are not wrong. But they take away from time that you could be spending studying the Word of God, pleasing the Lord, witnessing these kinds of things. Now, what is the real tragedy is that too many men, women, married, really get complicated by the setting of their mind. One, they spend just a little time on the Lord. Two, they spend just a little time on their spouse. Three, they spend a great deal of time on themselves, thinking about themselves, doing for themselves, pleasing themselves. And so we have these battles going on inside of us all the time. Now, you will notice that we have not even brought in children. My goodness, you bring them in, you've really shortened your time. You've shortened your time with the Lord. You've shortened your time with your spouse. You've shortened your time. So we only have so much time. And that's part of maturity. Part of maturity is learning how to regulate your time. And so it's amazing how many Christian adults care more about caring, being concerned, and pleasing their children than they do even their husband or wife or the Lord. It's just amazing in our society. Parents have to be at everything. Parents have to have their children in everything in our society. It's just amazing to me. Amazing. Their love is whether or not they're at the basketball game or the soccer game or the football game or this game or that game. I did all kinds of activities growing up. In football, track, drama, all these things. My mother came maybe to one game, maybe to one play. It never occurred to me, that she ought to be at every one of them or that she didn't love me because she wasn't. Never occurred to me. But now, boy, it's like a statement of love. That's how, I got to show you I love you by being there. No, there are other ways you show your children you love them. By teaching the Word of God. By teaching the priority of Christ in their life. But these are things going on in our society today. You have to do a lot of thinking of what is really important in your life. With your husband, with your wife, with the Lord, and if you have it, with children, these kinds of things. So, let's see if we can put all of this together. Verse 32, full concentration of mind and time on the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 32, full concentration on the in your time on the Lord. That is wonderful. 33, 34, it's divided. Your time is divided. Okay, let's take a look now at some things that I got I want to show you on the overhead, so on the PowerPoint. So let's take a look now. Well, what have I got down here? Let's see here. Let's just take this post phone. Okay. Now, so let's take a look what we have here. Please and concern. Those are the two things that we're going to be looking at in our study. And verse 32, but I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, or should be. Now, how he may please the Lord. He's concerned about the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But, and there's that difficult word, but, conjunction. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, don't any of you women say, well, my husband never thinks about pleasing me. That's not the point. Remember, the Lord could say that about a lot of us. We're not concerned about him either. So, just be careful when you do that. Verse 34, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This is a mandate. Men are to please their wives, wives are to please their husbands. Verse 35, this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Okay, now, we're going to be looking at two words, concerned and pleased. Concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. So the world is related to the wife because it's related to the world. There's no marriage in heaven. Marriage is related to the world. And so this is where we have to concentrate on pleasing one another. And then the concern about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So where the thinking about the world is not a bad thing, as Paul is using it in this respect. Okay. Concerned, present active indicative. Now that present indicative, this is your life, day in and day out. When you don't want to, when you want to, this is a present active indicative. It should characterize our lives all the time. Okay, so that's the pattern of your life. That's what the present indicative tells us. The anxious care, this is what the word means. Anxious care, a present active indicative, pattern of your life. The word means to be concerned, to take, to care for something, to have anxious care, to take care of. That's what this word means. Okay, concerned, anxious care. Now, the problem with this word is that it has both a positive and a negative connotation. It can easily flow over into anxious concern or worry, which is a sin. Concern may become cumbersome. Concern is an activity of the mind. It is directly related to your priorities of life. This is where you set up your priorities of life. This is where you decide, how am I going to spend this day? How much time for the Lord? How much time for my spouse? How much time at work? How much time doing the necessities of life? People, in our day and time, we're too busy. We are too busy today. We have too much to do. And we certainly can't miss certain TV shows. And we certainly can't go without this or that. People, we only have so much time. That's a wise person that understands that and then regulates how he can use his time. But concern is an activity of the mind. It's directly related to the priorities of your life. If you're going to be concerned about someone, you're thinking about them. What do they need? What can I do to please them? What will please them? How can I please them? And we know this from the Word of God. If you want to do this with the Lord, you want to please the Lord, you better know Him. You better know Him. See, a lot of people, I'll please the Lord, I'll be good. I'll please the Lord, I'll go to church. I'll please the Lord, I'll give money. I'll please the people. We've got the wrong idea of what's going to please Him. Got to understand what really pleases the Lord. What pleases Him? We have to think about it and then do it. And we have to think about it in the power of the Spirit. And then we have to do it in the power of the Spirit. Anything we do outside of the power of the Spirit does not please the Lord. You can give, sing, witness, pray out of the Holy Spirit. That does not please Him. You are displeasing Him. In fact, you're insulting Him. You're offering Him your flesh effort. He doesn't want that. So we have to know the Lord. That's why Peter says, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We grow in the knowledge of Christ, we learn more and more what will please Him. And therefore, we're concerned that we please Him, we want to do it. Now, the same principle is true of one spouse. You have to know them. You have to know them. But I gave you this or that. Yeah, but you know I don't like this or that. You really gave it to yourself. But I built you a $20,000 swimming pool. I guess now today they're about 50. But I built you a $50,000 swimming pool. Yeah, right. I don't swim, and the sun burns my skin, so I don't lay out either. So who did you get the pool for? Yourself. But you like to kid yourself. You did it for her. See how wonderful I am? No, you're not wonderful. You're thoughtless. You're thoughtless. A nice 20,000 diamond would have pleased her a lot more than a $20,000 pool. See? So, you have to know the person. You have to know them, and you have to think about what pleases them and what doesn't please them. See, and this is in every area, from simple little things to the more complex things. You have to please that person, you have to know that person. It's an activity of the mind. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 says, be free from concern. Unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord. Now, when he says be free from concern, that means concern of the things of the world. Be free of the concern of the things of the world. And then he explains that in that the unmarried person is concerned about the things of the Lord. But I want you to be free from concern. That's of the things of the world. That comes off of the previous verses where he's talking about marriage. When you marry, you divide your time. You intrude on your time. And if you don't want it to, don't marry. Don't marry if you don't want it to intrude on your life, your time. Whatever you do with it. I don't care if you use your time for the Lord as single or your time is totally devoted to yourself. If you don't want it intruded upon, don't marry, because you're going to be angry. You're going to be upset. Because, let me tell you something, marriage demands time. It's a simple fact. And if you don't have time, don't marry. And don't marry somebody who doesn't have time. Man or woman, don't marry someone if they don't have time. And they're not going to make time. See? This is why a lot of people don't come to church. Truths on their time. That's why a lot of people don't spend time studying the Word of God. Truths on their time. Truths and truths on their TV time. On their sports time. On their activity time. They don't have time for Jesus Christ. Until they need Him. Oh boy, menu God. Menu Lord. Menu. See? Well, where were you the last year? Oh, well, but me and you now. See? Okay. So, but I want you to be free from concern of the things related to the world, which he's just been talking about from verse 31 back. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. All right? Married is concerned about the things of the world. If you're married, you're concerned about things of the world. Now, the problem with the words please and concern, as I've just said, positive and negative. Concern can become cumbersome. You can just sit down and just concern yourself of all you've got to do. I know preachers like this. Well, I got to have Sunday sermon done, but I also got to have the church activities done. I got to do this in the church. I got to counsel. I got to do this. There's just too much. Well, you're doing too much. You got to isolate and prioritize your ministry. And the same thing is true of everyone else in your life. You've got to prioritize your activities, what is important and what isn't as important as the others. You've got to cut it out. Because we only have so much time. That's all there is to it. There's just so much time in a day. And that's the simple fact of it. Now, a small church like ours, a little different, but in a large church, pastor's got to have a group of people that can visit the hospital. He should have some people that can do the counseling. He should have some people that take care of different activities. He should not be involved in a lot of things. His job is to study and teach God's precious word. That's what his job. But many pastors are too busy doing other things. Not sinful things, not bad things. Things that distract from their study and teaching of the word of God, which is what his gift is, what he's called for. And when you're married, that's what you're called for. You're called into that marriage. So, well, I got that thing back up there. How'd you get back up there? Let's see. Okay. Now, verse 33. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. He's just told you what you've got to do. If you're married, you've got to please your wife. I don't care if you don't want to. Get in the Spirit, because the Spirit will guide you to do this. The Spirit will guide you. Okay? Unmarried is concerned. I'm going to act like I didn't hear that, because I didn't. All right. Unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, or should be. Married is concerned about the things of the world. Verse 34, just put it in here for that. And his interests are divided. See, you've got your interests become divided. And that's what a parent should be able to teach a child, these things in life as you start to grow. I just can't get everything done. I want to play this game. I want to play that sport. I want to make these grades. I want to be in this. I want to be in that. Okay, let's sit down and talk. Sit down and talk, young man, young lady. You've got to make up your mind. Now, the rule of this house is that you will be in bed by 10:30. Not 12, not 12:30, not doing homework at 11. That's the rule of this house. So you're going to have to regulate things around that. The rule of this house is that breakfast is important. So you're going to have to sit down and eat breakfast, not eat it in the car running. You're going to have to prioritize your time. This is what a good parent does. Teaches how the child how to prioritize their time. And I might add, even if the parent is lousy at it, that's no excuse for not teaching the child the proper things. You may be lousy at prioritizing time, but you know how important it is, so you teach your child. But this is important to life, to prioritize our time. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Members have the same care for one another. So it's not wrong to care about things related to the world, your husband, your wife, and one another in the local assembly. We are to care about one another. Okay? Philippians 4:6. Members have the same concern for each other. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What I'm showing you here is the negative. Be anxious for nothing. That word anxious is our word to care. That's where it becomes cumbersome. That's where it becomes wrong. That's where it becomes sinful. So we have to be careful with an understanding of these words, caring and even pleasing, as we'll see. All right, principles on being concerned. Principles on being concerned. One, concern binds us to an object or a person. People, whatever you're occupied with, thinking about, you're bound to it. That's why I like to tell people, whatever you give thanks for consistently in your prayer, that's what's going to be important in your life. If you give thanks for your husband, you give thanks for your wife, you give thanks for your children, you give thanks for the local church, it becomes important to you. But if you don't give thanks for it, it'll just be taken for granted and move on. So whatever we're concerned about in life is what we are going to be bind to. So if you want to be bind to your husband and wife, concern for them. Husband that is not concerned, takes it for granted. Pleases her when it pleases him. Same thing with a woman toward her husband. Okay, two. Concern voluntarily makes us think of it. Think of that person or think of whatever it is. When you're concerned about it, you're thinking about it. That person is in your mind. She is in your mind. He is in your mind. The Lord is in your mind. So it becomes another aspect of the mental activity. Three, but by being concerned, we are bound to from fear of losing or suffering. But being concerned, we are bound to from fear of losing or suffering. Some people don't care about the Lord. I mean that. They're believers. There'll be eternity with Him. But if they don't go to church, that's okay. If they don't go to Bible study, that's okay. They're not bound to Him. Application. Many husbands are not really bound to their wife. Many wives are not really bound to their husband. They got other things. Themselves, children, whatever it is. They're not bound to them, and they don't care. Concern binds you to whatever it is that you're concerned about. That's where you'll spend your activity, your time, your frustration, all these things, and generally your money. So this becomes a great issue in our lives. Point four, concern may affect us. That is, act upon us. Produce a change in our lives, in our decisions, in our desires. Okay, this is a very important point. You're concerned about something, it will influence your life. It will intrude on your life. It will act upon you. Produce a change in your life. Produce a change in the decisions you make about what you're going to do with your time, about what you're going to do with your money, about what you're going to do about all these kinds of things. When you're concerned about something, it will intrude on you. It's that simple. If it's sin, it will intrude in your Christian life, your spiritual life. And that's just a fact. We live in a time and a day, unfortunately, when adultery and affairs are predominant in our nation. So what happens when we start becoming concerned about that other person? Less concerned about our husband and wife, more concerned about them, and more binding to them. And our husband and wife no longer intrudes. Same thing with the Lord. You become so involved in the world, not in sin, but in the world, you're less concerned about the Lord. Don't have time to study the Bible on Wednesday night with other believers. Don't have time to study the Word of God at church. Don't have time for prayer. Not concerned about Him. Not concerned about your relationship with Him. Five, but everything that concerns us does not necessarily affect us or change our lives. Now, I threw that one in. That's a very important one. Not everything that concerns us does not necessarily affect us or change our lives. I'll come back to that one. 6. Our relationship with Jesus Christ should both concern and change our lives. Should be our lives. Change our lives. But what Paul is saying in this passage is that we should not allow our relationship with the Lord so concern us that we neglect our marriage responsibilities that he's been talking about from chapter 7, verse 1 on. We have unbelievable responsibilities in marriage. You have to be sensitive to what's going on. You have to be voice sensitive. You have to be physically sensitive. You have to care and think about them all the time. And that's not intruding on the Lord's time in a bad way. If you don't do it, you are not serving the Lord. If you want to be a good witness of Christ, you're concerned about your husband and your wife. So our relationship with Jesus Christ should both concern and change our lives. Should change what we do with our time. Bible study, church, fellowship, prayer, spending time in the Bible. Okay? But what Paul is saying in our passage is that we should not allow our relationship with the Lord so concern us that we neglect our marriage responsibilities. Should not allow your relationship. Well, I've got to go serve the Lord. I don't have time to be with my husband or wife. You're worse than an infidel. You're pitiful. You're not serving the Lord. You may think you are, and others think you are, but he knows you're not. And your spouse knows you're not. 7. On the other hand, we should not allow our concern about our marriage cause us to neglect our responsibilities to the Lord. That's got to be the first responsibility, people. The first responsibility is to the Lord. And you should not marry someone that doesn't understand that. That's why you want to marry a believer who understands how important the Lord is and the work of the Lord is. But you cannot allow that to cause you to neglect your responsibility in marriage. It's a very important thin line here. Line of balance. That's why we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide us in these things. Point 8. There are believers who are so cold and self-centered as not to be concerned about anything that does not benefit them. And that's the way a lot of people are in our society today. Everything is calculated. How does this affect me? How does this benefit me? Me. You got to occupy, tell the wife to the husband to wife, it's about me. It's not about you, and it's not about you and the Lord. It's about me. It's all about me. No, your spouse has a relationship with the Lord, and you've got to understand that. Their responsibility is before the Lord, and you've got to understand that. 9, to get so involved or concerned about things of this world so as to neglect the concern of the Lord or of marriage is to damage both marriage and the relationship with the Lord. You understand the importance of that point? If you spend so much time occupied with the world that you neglect your husband and wife, neglect the Lord, you're so out of line, it's unbelievable. You better check your priorities in life. 10. The Philippians 4:6 passage is a stern warning to keep trusting the Lord and not to have anxious concern about things of this world. We get so caught up in the world. People, we did a study some time ago on stress, anxiety, depression, sad. Most people experience sad, stress, anxiety, depression, anger, sorrow, all because they're so occupied with the world. The world makes so much, so it's so important to them. What's happening in the sports world, what's happening here, what's happening there, in areas that are totally unimportant. But they're so occupied with it, it causes stress. It causes anxiety. It causes depression. And all the things that those things involve. So you cannot allow those things of the world to sow influence. 11, remember, whatever you are concerned about will demand a great deal of thought. Then we come to what to do about those things that you're concerned about, that is, pleasing. We've just been talking about mental. We haven't gotten into the actual activity yet. This is all going on in the mind. How you use your mind. Stress, anxiety, and depression are in the mind. Fear is in the mind. Self-centeredness is in the mind. All these things are in the mind. But now we're going to look at pleasing one another. Pleasing your husband, pleasing your wife. So we'll take it up here next. We got some time. Huh? Good. All right. To please. Let's take a look at the word to please. All right. The Greek word presents several ideas. Don't you like the way James put these things together? He did a great job. All right. To fit, to adapt, to please. To adapt, to please. Soften, this is from the lexicon, Greek lexicon. Soften one's heart toward another. So even the pleasing involves the soul. While being concerned is a constant activity of the mind, to please is a constant behavior, overt activity to please the husband and the wife. And a lot of times, I wish I had done that, I meant to do that, or, you know, that kind of thing. Some people, I love some people, they think they did something. They think they did something to please their spouse. They never did it. They never did it at all. But in their mind they did. It takes time, activity. And that means you don't have time for other things. You're spending time pleasing your spouse. That means other things are not being done. Other things for the Lord. Other things for self. Other things for work. Other things. And that's okay. That's what we're talking about, priority of time. Prioritizing your time. This word moves from relationship to behavior. Relationship prior to behavior. So you have the relationship, and that will move into behavior pattern. You have your relationship, marriage, husband and wife. Salvation, a relationship with the Lord. First relationship, and then you come into behavior. Behavior is the activity of your life. Intruding on your life. Okay? From relationship with the Lord, by faith, to behavior, because of that relationship. What's some of the behavior patterns? Studying the Word of God. Living in the Word of God. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Prayer. Witnessing. Church. Singing. Fellowshipping with other believers. So these are the things that start affecting, because of our relationship, start affecting our behavior. From relationship with husband and wife, by marriage, to behavior, because of that relationship. First of all, you decide you want to marry that person, therefore the marriage, to behavior, because of that relationship. When you marry, it's going to change your behavior pattern. That's a simple fact. Okay, we'll start here next week and continue our study and on this. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, there's just not a... You know, Father, you invented time. You should have made it longer. You should have made a minute longer. You should have made an hour longer, made a day longer, made a year longer, made our life longer. Then we'd have more time for everything. And I babble like a fool, Father. You've given us just enough time to accomplish all that you want us to accomplish in our relationship with you, and our relationship with our husbands, and our relationship with our wives. We're to be concerned about them and please them. And we should be concerned about you and please you. There's just not much time for too much other things, too many other things. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen this morning, have them settle in our soul, and then influence our life. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.